We do want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the moms in here. And believe me, yeah, go ahead. We have not forgotten about you. We've got some special stuff planned for you towards the end of service. And so this morning we have a very special treat for you. My wife is going to speak for us this morning. So would y'all just come on up here. Go ahead and give her a great big hand. The Lord allowed me to marry the most beautiful pastor's wife that ever walked the planet. Praise the Lord. And for those of you who were former pastors, retired pastors, I apologize. I know that you think that your wife was or is, but I'm just telling you, my wife is the most beautiful pastor's wife on the entire planet. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray and dismiss right now. Lord.
Okay.
So she gets mad at me. She tells me every year, because I'll look at her and I'll go, okay, you got Mother's Day. And she's like, I just don't see how that's fair. She said it am I telling your story?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No,
you want to tell it?
No,
you want to tell it?
That's fine, go ahead.
She's going to tell a different one after it's over.
Yeah. I'll correct you.
She'll correct me. She'll get it right. She'll straighten me out in just a minute. But I give her our pulpit at almost every Mother's Day because I see something in her that I don't know if she chooses not to see in herself, but I see it there. Are you about to cry?
No.
Oh, you look like you was about to cry. You're looking over here like somebody's sneaking up behind me. I was about to catch myself. I've got crowd issues anyway, you know. And so But there is a gift of leadership in her, and there is some deposits of the Holy Spirit within her. And I believe it's important for her to pour those things out as God begins to deposit even more in her. So I want you to welcome with me my wife, the beautiful Stephanie Barino.
Thank you. You know, I told Chuck, I was like, I just want to say that I think this is wrong. You know, it's Mother's Day, and he's like, okay, well, you're going to do it. So, like, for example, last year at Abundant Life, I led worship, and then I spoke, and I was like, it's Mother's Day, and you got the day off, and I did not. So, yeah, somebody asked me this morning, they're like, oh, how's your Mother's Day going? I'm like, well, so far I've spent the morning trying not to puke. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give it like a 3-ish. No, but I do feel like it's daunting being up here because, you know, Chuck and I have been married for almost 17 years, and I've probably heard him preach thousands of times, and, you know, I still learn from him. I don't get bored yet, and, you know, I just kind of feel like he's a tough act to follow. So one thing that I do have going for me, though, is I'm probably going to get you guys out way before he typically does. So I may be your favorite. Yeah. Yeah. So I may end up being y'all's favorite before it's all said and done. I told Mackenzie this morning, I was like, maybe it'll still be the morning. Like, y'all can go home and put your PJs back on if you want to. So last year, you guys know that we had some life-altering things happen to us. One of the things that God really spoke to me about at the end of last year was about perspective. You guys know my brother passed away from necrotizing pancreatitis. He was only 35 years old. He had a 4-year-old little girl. That was a tough pill to swallow. And then my mother-in-law, who was the most amazing woman you'd ever meet, she passed away exactly 2 weeks later. And, you know, there were times that we would sit there and just be like, is this for real? Is this actually happening right now? You know, it's just hard to wrap our brains around it. And then after that, then we get back and we're still kind of going through the grieving process. And then we find out that God is calling us here. And, you know, that was tough at the time because we didn't know y'all. And I mean, we know every church is crazy, but we didn't know like y'all's brand of crazy yet. We knew Abundant Life. And we had family there. And so, you know, that was really tough because, you know, whenever we go into a place, we never go thinking, oh, we're going to be there for like 5 years or so, and then we'll move on. No, when we go, we are there to stay. You know, our desire is for our kids to have a place where they grow up, and when they think back, like, oh, I'm going to go home. Oh, it's going to be this place. This is where I, you know, went to school. This is where I graduated. And so when this whole situation came up and God started leading us here, it was just kind of like, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? And so, like I said, you know, one of the things that God taught me a lot about was perspective. Y'all can throw that first slide up there. Wait for it. Okay, so what is that? This is not a trick question. It's a blue square, right? Abundant Life Blue, if you will, Cassie. It's a blue square, right? So I just want to say, for the record, I'm not really the biggest fan of blue. My favorite color is red. And I also feel like if you add some sparkle or glitter, it makes everything mo better, right? So, you know, I just want to say, I don't really like this square being blue. I would really prefer for it to be red. And I don't really understand why it has to be blue when I want it to be red. So let's go to the next slide. So this right here is why it needs to be blue. You see that little red square up at the top corner? All I did was zoom in on that one part. That one part is our perspective. You know, our perspective is so small compared to God's. We sit here and we look at our lives and we look at that blue square and we're like, well, I don't understand why it has to be that way. This is why. Because while we're focused on that one little square, that whole thing is what God is trying to accomplish. That one thing is his plan. And so a lot of times things happen, I'm like, I don't get it. I don't like it. It's not my choice. It's not my preference. Well, that's because we are one small part of God's giant plan. And I think a lot of times what happens is, you know, we just lose perspective. And it says in Psalm 147:5, it says, great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. God is omniscient and we are not. Amen. And I think if I had to choose one group of people that easily can lose perspective, I would say that it's moms. And I think that the reason is because we have so much on our plates. We have our husbands, we have our children who have to eat three times a day. Three times a day. Sometimes I'm like, that's a little excessive. Can we like bump it down? And then we're in summer break now, so my kids literally ask for snacks every 10 minutes. I am not joking. I told Chuck, I was like, I'm going to make a food schedule, okay? You guys are allowed to eat lunch between these hours, and then you may have a snack between these hours. It drives me crazy. So we have our kids. We have work. We have friends, if we find time for friends. We have dinner. We have laundry. So hopefully today what my goal is to just remind you how valuable your role is, hopefully to bring back some perspective to what it is that we do every day. So before I start, I want to qualify all the moms in this room. I know it's Mother's Day, and so it's like, oh yeah, all the moms who birth children. No, not exactly. While a mother is one who births a child, I looked it up and it said a mother is also defined as a female parent, a person who brings up and cares for another. So if you are in this room and you have children, you know, you may have small children, you may have older children that you've already sent off in the world, this is for you. I have two mothers in my life and neither one of them birthed me. They are women who saw me as a teenager, saw that I needed guidance, I needed a mom in my life, and so they came along beside me and linked arms with me, and they mothered me. So if that is you, this is for you today as well. The Bible says, you know, the older ladies need to teach the younger ones. And I am very, very passionate about that. You know, I think that there's a real disconnect in the church. You know, I think a lot of the, sometimes the elders feel like they are done and they are, you know, there's not a whole lot left to do in the church, but the younger girls need you guys to rise up and to mother us, to teach us. So my favorite verse relating to parenting is Psalm 127:4. And it says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born to one's youth. Children are arrows, and it is our job as mothers to to aim them. And so today we're going to look at two mothers in the Bible. The first one is Mary. John 2, 1 to 11 says, on the third day, I'm going to read the story of the wedding in Cana, which Chuck, preached about it not too long ago. It said, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus's mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus's mother said to him, they have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water out knew. So then he goes and he's like, oh, this is amazing wine. This is great. So then it said, what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and the disciples believed him. Now, up until this point, Jesus had not done anything. So why would Mary think, oh, well, we're out of wine. Oh, Jesus could do it. Like, why would that even dawn on her? Well, in Luke 1, 30 to 38, she had received a word from God. It said, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered her and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So Mary knew what was in Jesus. And when Jesus said, well, my time hasn't come, it didn't even phase her. She didn't even address him again. She just turned to the servants and said, do whatever he says. So his answer did not repel her. She just believed and expected because she knew what was in him. The other mom that I want to talk about is Rebecca. We all know the story about Rebecca and Isaac. They wanted a child. They couldn't. So Isaac prayed and asked God to give them a child. And so she did. So she was pregnant. And she had twins in her belly. And they kept fighting back and forth. And so she was like, God, what is going on? Why is there so much fighting? And the Lord said to her in verse 23, it said, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. So, the Bible says that the babies were born. Esau came out. He was hairy. Jacob came out, and he was not. And it said the boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebecca loved Jacob. So we know the story. Esau goes out and he is hunting, and he comes home and he's hungry, and Jacob is making some food, and he's like, hey, give me some food, I'm hungry. And so Jacob's like, I'll give you some food if you give me your birthright. Not an even exchange, really. But Esau is like, okay, I don't care, I'll do it. So he did. So then the Bible says that Isaac, his eyesight was failing, he was getting old, and he realized that he was going to be dying soon. So he thought it was time to bring his firstborn Esau to him and give him the blessing, which is a big deal. He was going to get his father's blessing. So he told Esau, he said, go out, hunt, make me, my favorite dish, and then when you bring it back to me, I will lay my hands on you and I will give you the blessing. In verse 5, it says, but Rebekah overheard what Isaac had said to his son Esau. So when Esau left to hunt for the wild game, she said to her son Jacob, listen, I overheard your father say to Esau, bring me some wild game and prepare me a delicious meal. Then I will bless you in the Lord's presence before I die. Now, my son, listen to me. Do exactly as I tell you. Go out to the flocks and bring me 2 fine young goats. I'll use them to prepare your father's favorite dish. Then take the food to your father so he can eat it and bless you before he dies. So then Jacob is like, but he's going to know the difference. Like, Esau is hairy and I'm not. And so she says, it's fine. All you have to do is go out, get the wool from his sheep, put it on your arms, and he won't know the difference. And he's like, no, he's going to know. So Rebecca is pushing him. She's like, no, do this, do this. So she goes, makes him Isaac's favorite dish. She gives it to Jacob. Jacob takes it to Isaac. And Isaac is like, hold up, who is this? And Jacob says, it's me, Esau. And he's like, this is not Esau. He's like, come over here closer to me. So he feels his arm and he feels that it's hairy. And he's like, it's the voice of Jacob, but it feels like Esau. And so then he's like, well, come over closer to me. And Jacob had put on Esau's clothes. And so he's like, okay, you smell like him, you feel like him. And so he eats and he declares his blessing over Jacob. The wrong one. So what happens? Esau has been sent out to hunt and he comes back and he realizes what happens. And so when he comes back and realizes that it had happened, he went to Isaac and he said, let's see, where do we want to start? We'll start in verse 34. It said, when Esau heard his father's words, he let out a loud and bitter cry. Oh, my father, what about me? Bless me too, he begged. But Isaac said, your brother was here and he tricked me. He has taken away your blessing. So then Esau's like, well, no, I want a blessing too. Like, you need to bless me too. And so Isaac did one that wasn't as cool as, you know, Jacob's, but he did. And then it said, from that time on, Esau hated Jacob because their father had given Jacob the blessing. And Esau began to scheme, I will soon be mourning my father's death, then I will kill my brother Jacob. So Rebecca overhears him say that. She's like, she goes to Jacob and she's like, your brother's going to kill you. So you need to go to Uncle Laban's house. She ended up having to send him away. Why? Because she lied and schemed. I read earlier that our children are arrows. Mary aimed Jesus, Rebecca aimed Jacob. And because of that, Jacob had to run for his life. And, you know, he went off to his Uncle Laban's house where he was lied to again and tricked into marrying a woman that he did not want to marry. And then Rebecca never saw him again. The Bible says that she passed away. So the son that she loved so much, she ended up having to send him away to save his life. And then she never even saw him again after that. So both of these mothers aimed their arrows. And there are 3 things that I just want us to take away from these 2 stories. Number 1 is that we are stewards of God's children, not just ours. We are taking care of God's children. And God has an assignment for each of our children. And he has given us these kids to teach them what he wants from them and to teach them to have a relationship with him. And one thing that I, you know, want to touch on, a lot of times our relationship with them has a bearing on how they view God. You know, I have always struggled with a very hard, you know, I always think of God's judgment, you know, like I always have always viewed God as the harsh judge. And I've had to learn to accept his unconditional love. And I've had to learn that I don't have to work for it. I don't have to earn it. He just gives it to us. And that is a direct bearing on my relationship with one of my parents. We must teach them how to hear God's voice and to obey it. If I can teach my kids one thing, it's to hear God's voice and then to obey it. My pastor always talks about a bulldog tenacity. That is what I want for them. I want them, if they get a word from God, to be like, I don't care what happens. I don't care what comes against me. This is what I am doing. When we found out that we were moving here, Bishop gave us a week. He was like, you know, we found out that we were coming here on one Sunday, and he was like, the next Sunday, you need to tell the church. Well, we had a really you know, we had so many strong relationships that we just didn't feel right just announcing it on Sunday. So we spent the week of Thanksgiving going around to as many people as we could get to just tell them and just to explain to them and to answer any questions. And so this one lady in particular that we were really close to, we told her first because we knew she needed the most time to process. Well, we told her on Monday night. Tuesday, she left work at lunch because she could not stop crying and just showed up at our house and just sat in our living room and cried like all afternoon. So Aaliyah was in there and, you know, this girl, her name's Karen. She's like, are y'all sure? Are you sure this is what God wants? Are you sure? And Aaliyah goes, KK, we have to because God told us to. I was like, well, there you go. You know, I want my kids to have that fire all their lives. And I want my kids to hear the voice of God. That's something that we've been working on a lot with Micah. You know, he's almost a teenager. And so it's going to come to the point where we have to kind of slowly let go of him, which makes me want to barf a little bit thinking about, you know, because it's going to come to the point where he's got to be able to make his own decisions. And we have to let him make these decisions. And so we want him to hear the voice of God. When we were coming here to check the church out, we told him before, he was the only one of our kids that knew before we got here. We were like, listen, Micah, this is the deal. This is what's going on. And we were like, you need to pray and you need to ask God to show you what we're supposed to do. We're going to be praying and you pray. And if you feel like the Holy Spirit is saying anything to you, we want you to come and tell us. And so when we got back, you guys hadn't even voted yet. Micah was like, we're moving. And we were like, really? You feel that way? He's like, yeah, I mean, I don't like it, but we're moving. And I was like, oh, I think you heard wrong. No, I didn't say that. But, those two things to me are the most important thing, that my children hear the voice of the Lord, that they have a relationship with him, and that they follow his will. So that takes us to the second point. We need to aim our children in God's direction for their lives, not our desires, which is so hard. You know, I have seen parents whose children were called into ministry that were steered away from that because it's not financially stable. I've seen that so many times. There was actually a girl in one of our previous churches that this girl was called to ministry. There is no doubt about it. We had her as an intern for a while, and she like was a mess because she had finally tasted what ministry was like. And she's like, I don't want to go back to college. She's like, I want to go to college here, and then I can still, you know, do this. And her parents were like, no, you're going back. Because they wanted her to do something in the medical field, you know, and I think that as parents, it's so easy for us because we want the best for our kids. But, I mean, can we all agree that God's plan is the best plan? I've also seen people push their kids into ministry when they clearly were not gifted to be in ministry. And so I think it's really important for us to remember that we have to find out God's plan for our kids so that we can aim them in the right direction. Rebecca favored Jacob. And so she had her own interpretation of what God had said to her. And so that's the direction that she aimed him. And it was deceitful. It was dishonest. And it caused him a world of trouble after that. We have to remember that God's perspective is bigger than ours. We see the little tiny blue square, and he has the whole picture that he is working out. And we get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of that. But we have to make sure that we stay in our spot so that the whole thing can turn out right. And the last thing that I want you to remember is that God gave us his children to steward because we can do it. You know, sometimes we're just trying to figure out how to get through each day. And I get it because I still have Aaliyah at home and, I'm kind of to the end of all the baby stuff, but you know, sometimes they still want to hang on to all that baby stuff, and so sometimes it's like a struggle just to get through the day, and I'm really just trying not to ruin their lives some days, I'm going to be honest, but it's already happened, so I've been told. I remember the moment I ruined my kids' lives. It happened at the beginning of last summer. I decided I was going to make a chore chart. So I went on Pinterest. I made magnets that had all the chores. I even had like little pictures so that like Aaliyah knew what they were. And I went home and I put them up on the wall. And Micah walks in and he says, "You have ruined my life." And I was like, dang, that was so much easier than I thought it would be. Like, I thought it would take a little more effort on my part, but here we are. Life ruined. And Aaliyah actually comes up to me and she goes, and if y'all know Aaliyah, like if you look up sass in the dictionary, it is a picture of her. And she comes up to me and she says, "Mom, if I had a phone and a Facebook, I would put hashtag worst chore chart ever." She's 4 years old. And she said, "And then I would put hashtag poop emoji." And I was like, okay, well, I've already ruined their lives. It's only up from here, you know? But, you know, we have to remember that God has graced us to handle what he has given us. He has given us the tools. He has given us the wisdom that we need. We can do this. If you are a mom in here, I want you to stand up. Like I said, if you've birthed a child, if you've never birthed a child, but you have people that you mother, that you pull alongside of you, that you take care of, I want you to stand up. And Caleb, you can come out if you want to. Welcome to the stage. I want all of you guys to look me in the face. Because if there is one thing, you know, that I really want you to take away is that you have got this. God has given you children. God has given you people, you know, around you for you to mother, for you to pull, for you to aim, for you to link arms with them to help them. What, you know what? If I did not have those women in my church that saw me and were like, "That girl needs a mom," I have no idea where I would be right now. My stepmom, she and I were very close. She was a youth pastor at another church in the area, and so our youth groups did stuff together. That woman really, really helped me through some really difficult times in my life. A lot of you guys know when I just became a teenager, I was babysitting, and when I came home, my mom had packed up everything and she was gone. She had moved out while I was babysitting. And I'm gonna tell you what, my stepmom saw me and she prayed with me. She interceded for me. She linked arms with me and she pulled me out of all of that. I texted her this morning. I was like, "I just want you to know I love you. I don't know where I would be had you not been a mom to me." And so I really want to stress that too today, that you know, aside from being a mom, that's so important, but it's also really important. We talk about a fatherless generation. Y'all, we have a motherless generation too. And so we need you moms. But I want you to listen to what I'm saying. I am exactly who and what my children need. What other moms do has no bearing on me or my abilities. You are raising your world changer, and I am raising my world changers. Motherhood is challenging for everyone, everybody, and it's okay to struggle. My kids will thank me one day for this. I tell myself that all the time. One day they will thank me for this. I cannot and do not need to be everything for everyone. You are doing your best, and your best is enough. I choose to trust God's plan, not my own perspective. And I am not doing this in my own strength, but in the power and the grace that God has already given me. Let me pray for you guys. God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for every woman in this room. Lord, for the ones that still have their children at home that are young, God, I pray for grace, Lord. I pray for wisdom, God. I pray for patience. I pray for guidance, Lord. I pray that if they have not already gotten a word of what their children are destined to do, God, I pray that you would speak to them this morning, God. I pray that you would show them what you have so that they can aim their arrows in your direction. Lord, for the ones who have already let their arrows go, God, I pray that every word that has been spoken over them would come to pass, Lord. I pray that the seeds that were deposited in them would bear fruit, God. I pray that they would be drawn to you as they are out there making their own decisions, God. And I pray for the ones, Lord, who... For the ones that are in this church, God, I pray that if there are any women in here that need a mom, Lord, I pray that you would draw them to each other, God. I pray that you would give them wisdom to help care, to help bring up, to help nurture those other women in this church, God. I thank you, Lord, for the honor that it is to be a mom, to be a nurturer. God, we do not take it lightly, and I thank you that you have trusted us to be in these spots, to be in this position, and to care for your children. And we thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name.